Welcome back, one and all, and children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to, the Audio Educational Anthology Series, here on Ace of Spades, PDX.com, and I'm your host, show producer, webmaster, audio engineer, researcher, videographer, and writer, and sometimes, like with the International Jazz Day shows, you're also your graphic designer, Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., doing it all here in the DIY, commercial and sponsor-free, and today is April Fool's Day, yes, April 1st, and I want to say the following. I'd like to thank the Academy and all the little people for April Fool's Day and just weeks from the annual Golden Raspberry Awards, the Razzies, a program featuring some of the worst and sometimes unintentionally hilarious film music of the 80s and 90s wrapped in an essay of how badly people have ruined the entire award system by not truly challenging it at every level. Because, you know, I've said it before, sometimes I get heavy, sometimes I like to have fun. Sometimes I like to do a little bit of both, and today this is one of those shows. And currently, we are in the middle of awards season. The supposed best of the best will be honored in a string of, for the most part, glitzy, made-for-rating spectacles meant to draw you away from your recent binge watch. You root for your favorites. You tweet complaints about who didn't get nominated at all. Sometimes, you're judging these contests or a celebrity who has won some awards at these programs, being part of the machine itself while railing against its unfairness. The latter is often referred to as working inside the system to change it, but honestly, you can't be in it and not of it. If that was the case, we would not be here in the mess we are in right now. Rapper Kanye West, for example, has issued a firestorm of Twitter activity, no, you don't say, about how unfair the Grammys are and also states just how important they are. Ironically, he has won 22 of the trophies out of 70 nominations, which is 22 more wins and 70 more nominations than one of the most celebrated rock groups in history, the Kinks, have ever received. Awards, at times, aren't meant to recognize the most talented people or projects during a given time period. Remember, at the end of the day, they are judgments by people you have never met and probably never will meet, kind of like being on social media, for example. What the motivations for these decisions has always been a source of debate. The stakes can be much, much higher when winning or losing one of the major industry awards. Remember that word, industry, not artistry. Awards are akin to the lottery. If you want the big prizes and the privileges they unlock in this media and money-obsessed society, then you have to buy a ticket. Is it fair? Well, of course it's not. It never has been, either. Am I making excuses for the game? Hardly, but I understand how it is played, and so do you, whether you admit it publicly or not. No one stars in a movie or records an album to be anonymous. The same goes for podcasters. Believe me, there are more than enough lottery winners who have very ugly tales to tell about what happened to them afterward. Speaking about admitting it publicly, this year I've entered into two international contests. Why? Because being anonymous isn't putting food on the table. So what if my work gets criticized and I can still put a roof over our heads and keep the lights on? In the words of queer icon Liberace, a hugely successful performer who was constantly savaged by critics, I'm crying all the way to the bank. As much as I love my new, very physically demanding job at a local grocery store, what I guess I'm saying here is the following. Hate on haters, and thank you potential employers for the new job whether I am nominated, win, or lose. It gets back to an old adage. Awards are for the givers, not the receivers. Sometimes these things can be self-congratulatory. Sometimes they show inherent or unconscious bias. You would like to believe that each voting member of an awards group is an expert in their field, can be open-minded, even in the face of their own experiences and prejudices, and lastly, be objective. Regardless, judges are either labeled as completely spot-on, incredibly mean-spirited, or ignorant. The Golden Raspberry Awards, also known as the Razzies, were created in 1981 by UCLA film graduates and film industry veterans John J.B. Wilson and Mo Murphy, and are meant to expose the Hollywood money monster for what it truly is, or at least charges toward that windmill in a manner that would make even Don Quixote blush. The award ceremony is held prior to the day prior to the Academy Awards. This year, it will be on Saturday, April 24th, in just a little over 3 weeks. Our focus for this program is the Golden Raspberry for Worst Original Song, a category that appeared from the program's inception until 1999 and resurrected Baby one more time in 2002. For anyone who believes it is all vitriol and bitterness, the Razzies also give an award to those who have made some truly critically disappointing past films but have made incredible comebacks, including Ben Affleck, Melissa McCarthy, and Eddie Murphy, the latter who credited the Razzies for making him recognize he was making terrible films. In my case, do I believe I've created something unique and worthy of recognition? Well, yes, but then that could be said and probably will be said by many others also competing in their respective contests. But unlike almost every one of them, I put all this together myself, including right down to paying for it all in my own pocket and using less than industry standard equipment that costs a total of about $650, including the used 9-year-old software I taught myself how to operate from books at the library. Because if regardless of anyone else thinks, I believe in it. And put my time and talent where my mouth is. I will have no one else to blame for success, failure, praise, or critical drumming than the person I see in the mirror. I say that because I own that, literally, and accept no sponsorship or commercials. Is the industry exploitative? And do awards programs just reinforce this? Has this trend permeated every part of our society, such as being on talk shows or a fundraiser for the homeless, for example? Remind yourself of this only about how you post online how much you like seeing your favorite celebrity in a dress that costs more than what many people make in a month. You reinforce this, and that's how we got here. It often appears that the contests aren't limited simply to rewards programs, but any opportunity is used to show off a new pair of designer shoes that were given away for the publicity, which makes this all seem more like product placement than fashion statement, including civic and political events. Even CNN ran a story about the fashions everyone wore to the presidential inauguration last January, except for one. Bernie Sanders, everyone's favorite senior citizen, social activist, senator from Vermont, shows up in a green Burton coat, which many believe may be his only coat, mind you, and handmade mittens created from recycled materials, sitting politely, not saying a word, just simply being himself, and becomes the event and month's most talked about fashion icon and most memed individual of the year to date without even trying. I mean, honestly, can you even remember what Joe Biden wore to his own inauguration? Or anyone else for that matter? Lest we forget, last year, Sanders lost in the most high-profile, biggest-ever stakes contest in the world, the nomination for the President of the United States. Sometimes life can be about substance over style in the most winningest of ways. So can the awards given out at the contest this year. If you think I'm stating that substance and style can't go hand in hand, you're terribly incorrect. But what is the cash register saying, and what are you posting or sharing about winners at the 2021 Grammy Awards, for example? How about hardworking artists in fields that may not even be mentioned during the telecast because they are part of the glamour machine? You know, awards given out prior to the main event that might get 5 seconds per winner during that main contest. I bet few of you were raving about the win for the New Orleans Nightcrawlers, a multi-ethnic brass band made up of people who aren't setting YouTube streaming records. Yeah, they also look like your dad and his friends at the barbecue, which makes them less than, somehow, because they can't be marketed like K-pop idols. If they somehow get a big money vanity perfume or endorsement deal, I will buy 20 bottles of it and give them away in a contest, but not holding my breath. They would be perfect for Swagger by Old Spice. And if you're a fan of alternative icon Beck, send him a congratulations. He won for a technical category this year as an audio engineer, one of the people who make recordings sound as good as they do. He shares the award with Drew Brown, Julian Berg, Andrew Coleman, Paul Epworth, Sean Everett, Serban Genay, David Greenbaum, John Haynes, Jason Joshua, Greg Kirsten, Mike Larson, Cole MGN, Alex Pasco, Matt Wiggins, and master engineer Randy Merrill. Yeah, that's a whole lot of people who have worked their craft for years, much of it needing strong math and science skills, which again, just aren't that sexy to promote on television. Technical people get little respect or credit because, again, it seems for all of their importance to the music and film industry, they just aren't, for the most part, easy to sell when competing against big-budget pretty faces. I mean, Who wants to hear about quadratic equation when you really want to show off your red lacquered heel of your Louboutins, right? I mean, as if. If I win, my acceptance speech will be as follows. I'd like to thank the Academy and all the little people, because there are so many of you little people. Maybe that's a Razzie all its own. By the way, I don't own a Burton coat, but we'll ask my husband if I can borrow his. He'll probably say no. He practically has it on 24/7. In fact, he is got it on right now in the living room watching TNV. He often falls asleep on the couch with me begging my friends to get him to wash it. And yes, this is real. So expect me in my at least 10-year-old red Columbia jacket I got from a thrift store, the one with the removable hood. It doesn't seem very meme-worthy, but as 2021 has already shown us, anything is possible. Please ask me who I'm wearing if the trophy ends up my hands, because like Sanders, I have no problem giving props to a local company that employs people here at home who are also supporting families. What may surprise you the most? How many films are nominated annually simultaneously at the Razzies and the Oscars? Which relates to another old adage. Opinions are like assholes and they all stink. If you want to succeed in media, take it from someone who got his first job at a radio station 40 years ago as an unpaid intern. You have to have thick skin, work hard, tough it out, and stick to your guns. And to all of you out there, if you don't like to hear the criticism of your favorite celebrity of any stripe, then stop reinforcing and perpetuating everything else in the industry except the things that ruffle your feathers. In 2005, Halle Berry accepted her Razzie for Worst Actress in the titular role as Catwoman at the ceremony. Yes, she actually showed up with a truly amazing and hilarious speech that received a standing ovation, illustrating that there is no bad publicity and that you can control the narrative over other people's opinions of your work. Mind you, this Razzie speech was a parody of her own acceptance speech for a previous year's Oscar. The best part, of course, was that she conceded it was a terrible role in a terrible film. Every person blows it from time to time. Pass the popcorn and get ready for 14 tracks that more than likely you have forgotten, and for good reason. But hey, that's showbiz. And our first act was one of the biggest and highest, was the highest paid teenage actor during the late 1970s and early 1980s, even winning two, count them, two Emmy Awards. Unfortunately, the film this track came from, derived from the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta The Pirates of Penzance, was a critical and commercial bomb. She retired after 24 years in the business, is an out lesbian, and now spends much of her time teaching acting and is committed to a variety of charitable causes. From 1982, from the film The Pirate Movie, this is Christy McNichol with Pumpin' and Blowin'. And we will see you in about 30 minutes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Las Vegas, the one, the only, Andrew Palmer!
You have to learn to love by loving. Have to learn to give by giving. Give me a big, big love affair. We'll watch the shooting stars go crazy. So what do you see? A definite maybe. Should we walk? Maybe fall when autumn falls. Let's walk into the wind. You have to learn to touch by touching. Touch me if you dare. We'll reach the end of the beginning.
Here I am.
You
you know my name. My name is Jack Fresh, and loving's my game. I'm getting ready for my baby. I know I'm just gonna drive her crazy.
He sent it, soul destroyer, and he meant it. Life before the curse will persist, like part one of The Exorcist. But this time Father May Eyes twice as pissed, because once again Linda Blair got dissed.
The devil,
he's coming back.
The devil,
he's coming back.
The devil,
he's coming back.
The devil,
he's coming.
He's back and he's on a rampage like a madman after a crowd with a 12-gauge shotgun. But this one's the terrible ruler of hell. He makes lives unbearable. Ask Father May I or Father Luke. He sees Nancy's soul and he made her puke. A pea soup all over our priest suit. And I used to think when the Blair was cute. Now she's haunted and taking control of again. In the end, you will triumph and always win. In the meantime, though, you watch your head spin. It's 360, the face of sin rapidly turning. Bedpost burning. It's gonna take a lot more than the stupid Selly's sermon to destroy him. Or even annoy him in his time of demonic, chaotic mayhem. And the thriller, Magellan, Mandela, ultimate killer. Live on Ernest, the Fanny, Ray Willers show. Primetime show. Father May I and Luke are on the go. Hitting the gyms and lifting. Moving quick and building confidence. Getting swift and ready for butt kicking at its best. Cause Nancy's been repossessed.
The devil.
Asked by two on a mission, restoring the soul and God-given tradition of life to Nancy's body and veins. Cause Satan crawled under her skin into her brains, like a psychoanalyst analyzing. Only the bad parts, hypnotizing the rest of them, getting the best of them, testing them, soon possessing them, and no time at all. He makes Hitler look like Lucille Ball. It ain't a joke or some kind of dream. Put yourself into her scene. Possessed by the demon, can't even scream. Jason can't even join the team. He's too nice, the devil's scheme is mean. To the fullest extent, so it was seen. The only thing the priests had going on, generic holy water, Evian. They threw it on and saw the wrong choice was chosen. They wouldn't use the real stuff, but the church was closed. If the devil's got you running so hot, you appear on TV while millions watch you exercising your live exorcism. Yo, you know how you're living, lousy. Wanna get back full control? Get back your given soul. Play rock and roll. He hates that.
Thank you. says da-da, baby says da-da too. Mama goes gaga, baby goes goo-goo-goo. Now that's hardly fancy phraseology, and yet it's understood. Babies agree, a little baby talk works real good. Papa waves bye-bye, baby waves bye-bye too. Mama says don't cry, baby goes boo-hoo-hoo. You could spend your life in child psychology, you wouldn't find a clue. But plain as can be, a little baby talk sees you through. Baby, if we eliminate words that keep us apart, then maybe we could communicate face to face and heart to heart. Time to say night night, mama say night night too. Papa tells mama, baby it's only me and you. Let's make nice nice now and let biology step in and save the day. Eventually another baby may come to stay. Obviously, a little baby talk paved the way.
Gonna kick it, step to the mic like Cuban, get wicked. funk. From the old school with the bump for the drunk, and it humps with big bass on the low, like my homie O said. You don't hear me though.
And welcome back, children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to, our April Fool's 2021 show, celebrating the worst original song Razzies during the 80s and 90s. There was one in 2002, and maybe if we do the show again next year, we'll include it as well in the ones that we skipped this year. But God, aren't there some turkeys in here? And you have to understand that some of these songs were written to be intentionally bad. You know, it's, and my God, they succeeded in ways that I there's just no words for it. Let's recap. We've heard the first part of our program, shall we? Kick it all off with Pumpin' and Blowin' from 1982 by Christy McNichol from the pirate movie. You have to swallow something else. No. And that happened. All right. The following that was an edited version of Walk Into the Wind from 1995 by William Shockley from Showgirls. Shockley, a longtime character actor, is best known for two roles. Hank Lawson on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and as Andrew Carver, the Michael Bolton-esque singer in Showgirls. He was born in Kansas and, believe it or not, holds a degree in political science from Texas Tech University. And I say edit. This song was almost twice as long as it was, and even I couldn't handle listening to them walking into the wind anymore, all right? Following that, Jack Fresh from Caddyshack 2 from 1988 by Full Force. Notwithstanding this truly dreadful song, replete with its refrain of "Where's the beef?" from a Wendy's hamburger chain commercial, Full Force, a hip-hop group of singers, producers, writers, and dancers, have a truly impressive resume. James Brown, Samantha Fox, and even Bob Dylan, among others. They also helped Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam to become one of the biggest acts of the 1980s. From 1997, Once This Was the Promised Land by John Coyman, The Postman, and it wasn't this just this single song that won the Razzie. It was the entire original song score, and some of the covers were just as bad. I don't even know why, which is a shame, because the film score itself was brilliant. And Coyman, originally from New Mexico, currently makes his home in Arizona. His professional relationship with Kevin Costner extends beyond this film. He was the music supervisor for the Oscar-winning Dances with Wolves, and the two are also in a band together, The Modern West. He is also a part-time actor. Following that, Chris LeVar, Repossessed is the name of the song. Oh, sorry, was the name of the movie. He's Coming Back, The Devil, from 1990. Oh, my God. Seeming like an obvious choice for worst song of the year, this track, written and performed by LeVar, was meant as a parody of Vanilla Ice, who was hip-hop's biggest star in 1990, and for better or for worse, and really, in essence, a parody of hip-hop itself, right? I mean, Vanilla Ice was just a joke, wasn't he? Oh, my God. Of course, the film it arose from was also a typical Leslie Nielsen slapstick parody with Linda Blair reprising her role as Nancy from The Exorcist in the most over-the-top, ridiculous manner. After that, probably the most cringeworthy track in this survey from 1981, Baby Talk by Dave Frischberg from the film Paternity with Burt Reynolds. At the time of this film's release, 40 years ago, Frischberg was a highly regarded and successful jazz pianist and songwriter, with his tracks being covered by many of the biggest names of the genre, including Anita O'Day, Shirley Horn, and Mel Torme. And you wouldn't guess it by this kind of Randy Newman-ish sounding track. You do know him, however, for writing the I'm Just a Bill song from Schoolhouse Rock. And the one we just heard, my God, oh, talk about cringeworthy. From the film Addams Family Values, Tag Team from 1983, Addams Family Whoomp. The duo Cecil Glenn, DC, the Brain Supreme, and Steve Gibson, who is Steve Rowland, make up tag team. And the same year this film came out, they had one of the biggest songs of the year and created a cultural catchphrase with Whoop, There It Is, of which this track is based upon. They still perform to this day, including being seen and heard in a recent commercial for insurance company Geico. Yes. And we'll be kicking off part two here of a track from 1980. This was the first song that won for Worst Original Song at the 1981 Razzies. And our second part leads with a Hispanic singer and multi-instrumentalist. And he is well known around the Los Angeles session music scene, working on dozens of albums by other artists and many film and television scores. George Dunning, the person who wrote the music for this track, had been performing since the 1940s in jazz bands and in the armed services during World War II. One of the hundreds of films he worked on, including producing the scores for Western classics such as 310 to Yuma, this one would be his last before retiring. From the film The Man with Bogart's Face, no, for real, Armando Compion, this is The Man with Bogart's Face, and we'll see you just before the grand finale.
See the man with Bogart's face. He's the one who'll take your case. He's a special kind of guy, and on him you can rely. A man of mystery without a history. He's a man with Bogart's face. See the man with Bogart's face. See the man with Bogart's face. Take your troubles to his place. Just became a private eye. On him you can rely. He's got a brand new name. Trouble is his game. He's the man with Bogart's face. See the man with Bogart's face. His heat is always hot, and his rod can hit a dot. On the lookout for a fight. Take the stairs up to his place. For 200 and expenses, he will take all kinds of chances. Danger, dames, and lots of dough. He is always on the go. He's a brand new private eye. On him you can rely. Sam Marlowe is his name, and trouble is his game. Foxy, he's the man with Bogart's face. See the man with Bogart's face.
different every time. Like so many of us all, but when he's drinking, that's something else again. Well, you can sneak on out and leave, or you can sit and just agree, or you can cross him if you want your face knocked in. 'Cause he can hurt you, I swear to God, and he will hit you as apt as not. He's drinking his time. Every night's a different mood. There is a fun side to him too. He loves to laugh, he loves to joke, he loves to dance. Watch your girlfriends or your wives to steal them right before your eyes, 'cause he's a lover, so don't give him a half chance. 'Cause he can do it, don't think he can't. Women like him, call me Drinking Stein. In the tavern down the street is the laboratory where I make the transformation all the time. In the stand a doctor Bud is a pint of monster blood, and it does affect me different every time.
there's nothing to eat. But I always land on my feet. So then there's dry times. I wait for high times and then I put on my vest and I stick out my chest and I'm off to the races again. My good friend the mayor, he called me today. He said, "Madam, the voters are turning away. Help me," he cried, "or they'll give me the axe." I said, "Your Honor, you've got to relax." Everybody! Your old lady don't love you no more. So you're afraid there's a wolf at your door. So you got street rats that scream in your ear. You when some you lose some, my dear.
Oh, high times, hard times. Sometimes the living is sweet, and sometimes there's nothing to eat.
Michael Owens! time. We just making time. Will our spirits rhyme?
And welcome back, Children of Revolution, to what you're now listening to here on April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2021. What you're not listening to on a Space PDX. And I'm still your all-around monkey bear, doing all the DIY. Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr. As we talk about award season and the worst original song winners, the Razzies, during the 80s and 90s. Not all of them, mind you, but quite a number of them. Let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our truly... Oh, God, this is just some crap, isn't it? So bad it's good. Well, so bad it's bad. And, you know, I guess there's something to be said for that. Let's recap what we heard in the second part of our show, shall we? Kicked it all off with the title track to The Man with Bogart's Face by Armando Compian from 1980. Yeah. And after that, Sylvester Stallone. Yes. Really, Sylvester Stallone from that film Rhinestone, Drinkenstein from 1984. An actor that needs no introduction. Stallone, a former two-time Oscar nominee for his 1976 film Rocky, teamed with one of the biggest stars in country music, Dolly Parton, for Rhinestone, a critical and commercial flop. Parton was hoping to catch lightning in a bottle a second time after her work with Burt Reynolds in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, but it never materialized. The soundtrack album nonetheless spawned two top 10 country hits for Parton. And, you know, the Razzies can be a family affair because Frank Stallone, Sylvester's younger brother, won the best original, or actually worst original song Razzie for the following year. My God. After that... I Want Your Sex by George Michael for Beverly Hills Cop 2 from 1987. With this track, George Michael, formerly one half of the teen pop sensation Wham and the biggest music act of 1985, decided to remake himself as a harder-edge R&B sex symbol after the number one duet with Aretha Franklin, I Knew You Were Waiting For Me, the year prior. This track was banned by many radio stations for its title and content, even with Casey Kasem of the American Top 40 radio broadcast refusing to speak the title on the air, only announcing the artist. After that, Anne Margaret and the cast of Newsies from the film Newsies, High Times, Hard Times from 1992. An early 90s Disney production, it featured a cast of veteran stars and up-and-comers, including Christian Bale, yes, the future Batman, Robert Duvall and Anne Margaret. It was a commercial and critical failure, but received a second life as a highly successful Broadway production. After that, I Want to Be Mike Ovitz by Magic Kingdom, which were an unsigned and really unknown band in Los Angeles who submitted a tape for the film, an Alan Smithy film, Burn Hollywood Burn, from 1998. For those unaware, Alan Smithy is the official pseudonym for any director wishing to disown a project they worked on. The film and this song were written primarily by Hungarian-born Joe Esterhaus, who also gave us Flashdance, Basic Instinct, and Showgirls, among many others. It's a mockumentary, and the band is also, in a sense, fictitious as well. Mike Ovitz, Michael S. Ovitz, I know it sounds like Michael Ass Ovitz, doesn't it? At the time, was one of the most powerful agents in Hollywood. The film's real director, Arthur Hiller, used the Smithy name to distance himself from this picture. And the song we just heard from the film Under the Cherry Moon, Prince, Love or Money, from 1986. One of the biggest and most iconic acts in music history decided not only to star in a second film, following the critical and commercial blockbuster known as Purple Rain, Prince opted to direct, despite having no previous experience. With this film, only the soundtrack make money. Interestingly, though this song is in the film, it did not appear in the album soundtrack, oddly titled Parade, but as the B-side to Prince's number one 1986 single, Kiss. And here we are. Oh, God. All good things must come to an end. All bad things must come to an end as well, right? And by the end of the 1980s, Iron Maiden, the shining stars of the new wave of British heavy metal movement, had carved off their niche and rabid fan base with a series of classic albums that, by and large, critics hated. Their second lead singer and the one who brought them to international fame sings our final track, which he also wrote. The song, though largely forgotten at the time, was included on the 1992 album No Prayer for the Dying by Iron Maiden, becoming the group's only number one hit single in their native UK. And for those of you who are wondering, the two contests I've entered were the Communicator Awards, which is the 27th annual Communicator Awards, which should be announced sometime this summer, as I understand it. And of course, the International Webby Awards, now in its silver anniversary this year, it's 25th. And the nominees will be announced on April 20th. Yes. So we'll see how it all goes. And I can't use the I want to thank all the little people, because there's so many in the Academy, speech that I plan to give at the Webby Awards, because they only give you 5 words in your acceptance speech. But let me tell you this, Children of the Revolution, I only need 4. Love to you all. From 1989, from the film A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child, Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter by Bruce Dickinson.
You better know that I'm the one.